Episode number 65.
65.
I'm Roland.
I'm Dale.
This is Over 40 in Vancouver.
And we are both
at Archive.
Archive at Revolver.
Twitter.
Twitter.
Is the topic des tages, the topic du jour, the topic of the day.
Poor, poor Twitter.
Poor Twitter, laying off hundreds of people, can't find a buyer.
Can't
hypotheses. Yeah,
they can't even sell themselves. I mean, who would have thought this of Twitter a couple
years ago? In the age
of
social media, an online service is not geeky.
And big companies.
300 million users.
Swallowing small companies.
I think there's many reasons. I think the number one reason, I think Twitter is, except for its anti-spam stance, or anti-anti-spam stance, and anti-anti-hatred stance, there's sort of the crazy First Amendment stance, or whatever amendment it is in the United States Constitution.
It's a good service, and
it's a viable service, but in the context of the Silicon Valley growth religion, 300 million users not growing is not enough.
Well, yeah, there's a couple...
And being a public company.
I have a couple issues with them. One is that, in plain language, I mean, they really are a cesspool. Like you say,
yes.
Like there's islands of sanity, and
racism,
there's like really
from
interesting
the,
groups.
Racist alt-right.
But I think the libertarian tech people just don't understand the difference between free speech and harassment. And I think now that flock of crows is coming home to roost. I truly believe that. The other thing that I think with Twitter is they locked it down so much. I mean, in the early days of Twitter, it was this wonderful place to experiment. Like
geeky, both, albeit geeky.
Well, users and geeky. Like, it was the users, and I don't necessarily think it was just the geek users that did the at thing.
Users invented the at sign.
Yeah.
Not geeky users. Chris Messina invented the hashtag. Stoboid, Chris Messina.
A whole bunch of things that let people communicate with each other, and the Twitter of the day just went with it, and everybody benefited. And the
API, like Flickr's, was initially... super easy and fun to use.
And the current regime locked everything down. The other thing was the variety of clients. It was so easy to write an interface for it that you could find your preferred way of dealing with Twitter in a client someplace. And there was this big variety of clients. And if you didn't like the way my client worked, you could find one that you liked.
Yeah. And basically Twitter shut down that innovation. I think it's still possible to innovate in anti-hate speech. But Twitter has made it a lot difficult. They have like... download restrictions or user token restrictions for apps.
They completely locked it down.
Yeah.
And I think that throwing out the ability to easily innovate, the hostile environment that they've allowed to grow, I think that's why like they're not seeing the growth. I mean, who wants to go there? I mean, especially if you're...
Nobody.
They've already reached their prime demographic. If they want to grow to new demographics, what new demographic, which is typically going to be people of other countries, different genders...
They have many genders, many countries. They just also have too much racism and hate speech.
And, you know, no single one of those things is it. But and then to your second point, I think that's absolutely valid. Like, there's this attitude that... If we're not growing, we're a failure. Like, would you say 300 million users?
I believe so.
Like, I hate...
As Facebook's a billion?
Like, I hate that that company...
I think 50 million users is viable.
I hate that that company doesn't think that, like, just supporting conversation among 300 million users isn't a good thing. That really pisses me off.
Well, one of the detractions, one of the cons that people are saying about Twitter is that it's not a great... Again, mainly because of the lack of... hate speech and racism controls. It's not a friendly conversational medium. It's a broadcast medium, which doesn't work for most people.
I mean, the other...
It works for a lot of hardcore, I hate to say it, people like you and I, geeks, who know how to...
Doesn't
asbestos
even work for me.
Coats.
It doesn't even work for me.
Asbestos Twitter jacket.
Come on.
Flame-proof.
I mean...
I know, I'm
this,
not flame-proof.
This isn't your situation.
I would shut down my Twitter account
if I
encountered those situations.
I am a old white male. I am the most favorite demographic on Twitter. Like,
here's what I think we should do. Here's what I think should happen. It ain't going to happen. An open web consortium should not take over Twitter, but they should offer a service that's API compatible with Twitter, offer an easy import tool, and make it I don't know, and offer the anti-spam tools that have been proposed by Space Cat Gal, at Space Cat Gal, Anil Dash, and many, many others. Work with them, clone the API, have an easy moving tool from Twitter to whatever, charge people. If you're a broadcaster, you charge. You get, I don't know, who cares about celebrities? But if you have, if you're following more people, like if you're following over 1,000 people like I am, I should be charged. That's a huge computational cost to do that timeline. If you've ever looked at, if you ever like sat for a minute and tried to figure out how would you write a program to analyze my timeline where I'm following 3,000 people and display it, it's not easy. So
I don't see how charging would allow it to grow. It might be profitable.
If 50 million of those 300 million people came over,
it would change the
conversation. And if they each paid $50 that it was a nonprofit per year, or a million of those people paid $50 plus some seed capital, plus swag, it could be done. We desperately need a tool for global, worldwide conversation.
And we do.
This is the closest thing we have in spite of the
anti-racism
and anti-hate speech tools that are lacking on the platform.
So correct me if I'm wrong. Like, I see lots of competition in the sense of conversation tools, but what I also see
they
is...
They don't have the users.
They're not open. They each have a niche. They each have an audience. And yes, they're not open, but that ship has sailed for me. I don't think you can have an open
solution. I think you could.
Do you?
It requires imagination and some seed capital from some billionaire.
Like Ubuntu or something.
Yeah. Or,
well, I mean, in the same vein as a bunch of came about.
Billionaire gives you... No, it'd be a nonprofit. So billionaire gives a seed cap of $100 million.
Well, that's what happened with
Ubuntu,
isn't
it? You charge people. It's a nonprofit, unlike Canonical. You charge people, like I said, and you add the anti-racism and anti-hate speech controls.
Well, I think you can solve like that whole anti and harassment thing by just having a really diverse development team that is sensitive to like...
Right.
That
well,
kind of
Anil
thing.
Dash and Space Cat Gal and all those people, you know, they could be on the board and they could help hire developers who could see the how to do this and how what actually works.
I think the experimentation is one of the key parts to any solution. Like you have to be able to evolve and experiment to see
so enough of
what
my
actually
dream.
Works.
What do you think is actually going to happen?
Oh,
two
man.
Minutes.
I don't even know. Like I can't see them dying. I can see them becoming so devalued that somebody will eventually step in.
So they'll
and do
be
something.
Like Six Apart, the TypePad company.
Maybe. The most novel solution I saw, I mean given that I also follow co-ops for one of my
co-op
other hobbies.
Would be good.
Was
that.
A proposal
I'm in for co-op?
Yeah, it was a proposal. Actually there's your payment solution. It was like let's form a co-op to buy Twitter. Which would necessitate you spending some amount of money to buy your one share in the co-op.
I would modify that to, in accord with my previous proposal, which is let's start a co-op that clones Twitter, but we don't buy Twitter.
I kind of think people, well, maybe not with the co-op model, but I kind of think people have tried that.
You mean like LO? Yeah, that's true. People have tried it, but they haven't tried it as an open nonprofit, and they haven't tried cloning the Twitter API. They had their own APIs. They had their own stuff.
True, and Twitter wasn't in the same situation it was now as it was then.
Right.
I mean, actually, the other thing that has driven me somewhat away from Twitter is just how it's been taken over by the marketers. Like, it used to be when it started, and this is the trajectory for a lot of startups. It used to be much more personal, right? Like, I could literally keep in touch with friends and coworkers and colleagues that I didn't really see day to day, but I kind of had a sense of like being a little bit closer to them. And then people stopped sharing those kinds of details on Twitter. It just became much less personal.
Yeah.
And I miss that. I don't know that you can ever capture that. That seems to be like one of those evolutions. Same thing happened with blogging.
Right. Well, from the heart of Gastown, the heart of Vancouver, signing off.
From Revolver Archive. Archive at Revolver. Direct to tape. Indeed.
Ciao, juice.
Bye-bye.